Rico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And we're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. We've got another hour to do here, and then 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And is it Friday? It's Friday. So that's cool.
Yeah, Friday, and that's going to be Saturday.
Right, and then it's going to be Saturday.
Well, he knows that.
Yeah, I'm just letting him know.
All right, we know. It's going to be Saturday. And then I have a barbecue to go to because my godson and his sister Katie, Joe and Katie, they're graduating from college. I mean, I can't believe it, but they're out of college. Joe from Cal State LA and Katie from University of San Francisco, not UC, University of San Francisco.
That is a private, that's a very prestigious school.
Yeah, and she got a full scholarship ride. That's how brilliant this girl is. And so she's graduating. Joe's graduating, and the family's having a barbecue, so we're going to be there on Saturday. And I thought maybe I'd break out the yucca. I'm kidding. No, I won't.
Man, you can't break out a yucca, man. People will go crazy.
No, I'm not breaking out any yucca at that. Forget it. But it is getting to be yucca time, so at some point, we will have a yucca demonstration on Phil TV and HD. I don't know. Maybe we'll have it on Sunday. Maybe we'll have it. Can't have it on Saturday, because like I say, I'll be at this barbecue. But anyway, congratulations to you guys. In the news, this was the story I wanted to mention. An older woman who visited Buddy Freddy's. Buddy Freddy's is it's in Plant City, Florida. An older woman who visited Buddy Freddy's on Sunday with another older woman and younger man paid the bill for every customer in the restaurant, all 180 of them. The generosity of a customer at one of the city's oldest restaurants has led to a big mystery. Just who was she? Now, this has been picked up by the Associated Press, ladies and gentlemen, and has been reported nationally, if not internationally. This is an example of a story that never would have made the news 10 to 15 to 20 years ago, before the internet really took hold as a news source. I'm not saying that that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'll tell you this much. They don't even know if this is a lady who won the lottery. But here's the story. The generosity of a customer at one of the city's oldest restaurants has led to a big mystery. Just who was she? An older woman who visited Buddy Freddy's. What the hell is that?
It's kind of like a restaurant.
Yeah, it's a southern restaurant, and they call them names like that.
They do, huh?
Yeah.
Buddy Freddy's. Anyway, she visited Buddy Freddy's on Sunday with an older woman and a younger man, paid the bill for everybody in the restaurant. The random act of kindness had customers wondering if it could have been the record Powerball jackpot winner Gloria C. McKenzie of Zephyr Hills, which is less than 20 miles away. Dig this. But George Weaver, the Buddy Freddy's manager on duty at the time, doesn't think it was the 84-year-old woman who won $590 million. It didn't look like her at all. Based on what I've seen on TV, to my knowledge, it was not the Powerball winner. So how does this make the news?
Well, what do you mean?
They're not even sure it was her. How did this make news if they're not even sure it was the lady? You know what it is? It's like a neighborhood piece of news, a piece of news that is a neighborhood piece of news that might be hot in the neighborhood. That, oh, wow, did you see who came into Buddy Freddy? Well, I don't know, you know.
Well, Buddy Freddy's what?
It's the place where they eat.
It's a restaurant, I guess. Maybe it's named after two guys, one named Buddy, one named Freddy. They just decided to call it Buddy Freddy's instead of Buddy and Freddy. I don't know. But in any event, in the neighborhood, it might be, hey, do you see who paid the bill? It could be that lady that won the job. I don't know. Yeah, you know. So maybe it's a big rumor. But this becomes national news. And why? Because we have a million different ways of delivering information, and we don't have enough information. We have a million different ways of delivering television shows, and we haven't got enough quality television shows. We have a million different ways of delivering radio shows and delivering audio content, and we don't have enough quality radio shows or audio content. And now we have a story here of someone, in Zephyr Hills, or as Charles Bukowski said so memorably, God made a lot of poets. He just didn't make enough poetry.
Hey.
Thank you.
Who said that?
Charles Bukowski.
Who's he?
Well, why are you applauding it if you don't know who he is?
Charles Bukowski. I remember Charles Bukowski. Was he a poet? He was a slovenly man.
Take it easy, Margaret. He's a beloved poet, a Los Angeles institution. Charles Bukowski. All right.
But he was still a bit of a drinker.
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose he liked it. As much as he might have liked you had he met you.
How dare you? I wouldn't... I nothing against a poet, but I don't want... No, I don't want those kinds of mitts on me. Thank you. I know about Charles Bukowski. He's rough around the edges, very sexy. But I don't need that kind of oily mitt on me. Thank you very much.
No, but you'll have a Greek who's got a cucumber dressing dripping off of it.
Dripping off of it?
I mean,
off of his hands?
No, it's mouth.
Dripping off of his mouth. You said it, and that refers
to... Now, hold on. He didn't say the word, though.
He said cucumber dressing dripping off of his...
You almost said it.
No, he did not almost say it. He said it.
He said the D word.
No, he didn't. I didn't say
D word. Never mind, okay?
Starts with a D.
Margaret.
Don't clench your fist at me, all right?
Anyway, so this old lady comes into the restaurant. She pays the tab for 180 people. The word gets out that maybe she's the lady that won the $590 million jackpot. Customers drive great distances to eat at Buddy Freddy's, a buffet restaurant known for its southern cuisine that traces its roots back nearly 60 years. The restaurant with porches and rocking chairs and black waiters. I'm joking.
You see that?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. The restaurant with porches and rocking chairs and, yes, slaves out in the field. Joking. What is it with you guys?
Quit joking and read it right.
Don't tell me how to do it. It's located on Thonatasasa Road and Interstate 4.
I know what Thonatasasa Road, I know that is. I don't think they have slaves down there anymore, but I think they've got a few indentured, I don't know, like whites or something.
They don't have any indentured whites anymore either. What are you talking about?
Down there.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
Well, what was it you said? Didn't you see a colored service sign down there?
Way, way back when I started in construction work in Central Florida, it was like 1972. 1972, okay? Not even 7 years removed from the Civil Rights Bill. I saw a sign at a restaurant, and it was the guy had the sign there because it was kind of an old school redneck, but it was illegal. So he just had the sign there for just to be a mean guy, you know?
What do you mean, be mean?
Because if a black person walked up and saw a colored service over here, in those days, he might think, oh, I got to go around and go to the side window. Because they didn't quite, it wasn't quite, you know, people were not educated enough then. And I was there one day when a black person came up to that window. And this guy who owned the restaurant, you know, it was a good restaurant. We used to eat there for lunch. But the guy was such a sadistic creep. He says to this man, now, y'all come around the front door like everybody else now, like that.
Well, what's that mean?
Meaning you don't have to come to this colored service window. You go around the front door like everybody else. But he was, you know, messing with the guy. This poor guy, some uneducated guy, came around to the colored service window figuring, well, that's what I got to do, not realizing that that's illegal. It was illegal as of, you know, 1965 because it became federal law. This man still walks up to the window, and I hear this dude, now y'all go into the front door like other people, like regular human beings. He was trying to humiliate the guy.
Did you kick the guy's ass or want to beat him up?
I want to beat his ass.
Well, no, I didn't beat his ass. No. I just kind of looked at it sheepishly. I stared up for my black-eyed peas and returned to my,
Why, you gutless wonder.
What am I supposed to do about it?
You could have at least stood up and said, I demand... I would have stood up and said, you there, you don't talk to that man like that.
He would have thrown your ass out, you know that?
Yeah, he would have pitched you out.
He's going to throw me out. What do you mean he's going to throw me out?
Everybody in the place would have said, sit down, shut up, or I'll throw you. They would have thrown you out, I'm telling you. Margaret, it ain't like a movie, okay?
I don't think it is a movie.
You're not going to stand up in a guy's restaurant in the South and say, hey, don't treat that man that way. They'll just tell you to shut up and mind your own business. Maybe they'll beat you up.
I'd love to meet the guy that figures that he can meet the guy that's going to...
Yeah.
Forget it.
I figure I'm going to meet the guy who's going to meet the guy.
Yeah, you don't say what you're saying.
I'd like to meet the guy that thinks the guy that's going to meet me.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
I'd kick.
You'd kick his ass.
Yes.
All right. The woman paid this is the lady who ain't the lady that won the jackpot. That's how great we're doing here tonight. Anyway, she paid $1,000 in cash, and the younger man put another $950 on a credit card. He later called the restaurant and asked that another $300 be added to the credit card for a $50 tip for each of the six servers on duty. Weaver said the name of the credit card was not Scott McKenzie, the winner's son. He would not disclose the name on the card to protect the privacy of the customer. Good for you, Mr. Weaver. Weaver did say for a price he would tell people... No, he didn't. Don't grab the copy.
Well, I don't know whether you're lying.
Don't grab it. Weaver said the name of the credit card was not Scott McKenzie. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back with more on this very important story.
Not.
When we come back, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I'd like to meet the guy.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Head on over to our website, philhendryshow.com, and take a look at all that there is to see. We're really very proud of our website. We have almost 5,000 hours of audio for you to listen to and enjoy. We not only have that, we have, as I mentioned, a big audio archive, and there's my ugly mug. I've actually got Phil TV just scoped in here on our website. But we also have our video archive. We have a video and audio archive of our Saturday night KFI show that we did for a year and a half. We have webisodes of the various clips from our show. We have the Milwaukee Lion archive, our show logs, our daily show logs, as well as our daily podcast of the show. And we have our daily classic podcast, which we will put up again. In fact, we have episode 180 of the classic podcast, We're Not Cattle. Margaret, do you remember this one?
Oh, this is a show that I did with you back in 2004?
Yes. Oh, no, 2003.
2003. Let me tell you, I still get cards from women saying, good for you, you go, girl. Because that show...
Well, you said on that show that women were sick to death of lingerie.
Yes. The reason why we're sick to death of lingerie, and I think it's still true... is because when a man presents you with a silk nightie, or a pair of panties, or a thong, or crotchless panties, or some sex aid, basically what he's saying is, slut, don't let the sun set on you. Now,
what does that mean?
It basically means, you belong to me, you're my animal, you're my barnyard animal, and you'll do my bidding, or know the reason why, and... That was the year that I rebelled against it. I got all of my sisters to rebel against it. By sisters, I mean the women out there in America. And eventually, nothing changed. But eventually, you know, the show went into your archives.
Yeah, but eventually nothing changed.
Yes, eventually nothing did change. All men still treat us as if we're cattle, but...
What about the Bonanza theme?
Well, during the show, I would... To illustrate that we were sick and tired of being nothing more than something in a corral, than something in a barnyard, and I would dun 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 dun. So when women called up and took exception, as many did, because back then women were not as educated.
And what did they say?
Well, they would say things, Margaret, we disagree with you. We want to please our men. How dare you call us barnyard animals? Blah, blah, blah. And I'd go, da 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 da. And that was their cue to feel like an ass on steroids, because I'd called them out as barnyard, because I felt so strongly that I put a French pronunciation. I said, you are nothing more than barnyard. You know?
Yeah.
What are you laughing at now?
Margaret, are you telling me I'm not supposed to laugh when you say barnyard?
Go straight there.
Down to the devil. Go straight to where the devil craps briquettes and ow!
There she goes, off to the bathroom.
You got it.
Yeah, so check out episode 180 of the classic podcast, We're Not Cattle. It should be called We're Not Cattle Anymore. We're not gonna take it. And that is episode 180 of our classic podcast. And then there's episode 179 all the way on down to number one. So you can listen to all of those with a backstage pass. So that's your daily dose of grooviness and hilarity and hystericality. But I got to tell you, don't let those men make you feel like you live in a barnyard. Don't do it. Okay.
You know, you think you're real funny, Phil. You think you're real funny until out come the gardening shears, and you lay there with your legs spread.
All right. Amanda Bynes has a thing about calling people ugly. In the past few weeks, the former child star has called everyone from R&B star Drake to her own father ugly. Amanda's got a thing about calling people ugly because I think, and I say this with all due respect, Amanda, maybe you have a low self-image, you know? I mean, you called what's-her-face ugly, man. You called, who'd she call ugly? She called some really hot-looking girl ugly.
Yeah, I think it's, I forget who it was, but she is pretty hot-looking.
Did it say in the article?
It does not say it in the article, but nonetheless, she was all over Twitter. Oh, Miley Cyrus, she's been all over Twitter, yakking and screaming at Miley Cyrus. This week, Amanda Bynes turned her ire toward pop star Miley Cyrus in a now removed tweet. Bynes simply tweeted, "You are ugly," at Cyrus's Twitter account. Now Cyrus has answered Bynes' call for attention, but is taking the high road. In an interview this week with Washington, D.C. radio station Hot 95.5, Cyrus stated that she really doesn't want to address the issue. Instead, Cyrus was more subtle than simply name-calling, stating that Bynes' situation is sad. I think it's... See, that's kind of passive-aggressive, though. You know, the whole sad... Oh, you're so sad.
What are you talking about?
Well, I think that's just as aggressive. I think it's just as aggressive as calling somebody ugly.
Well, wait a minute, man. She didn't call her ugly or nothing.
No, she didn't. But when you say that someone is sad, it's a passive-aggressive thing. It's attempting to incite. So I'm not exactly a big fan of calling someone sad, because I don't think that's genuine. I think when you call someone sad, you are engaging in a classic passive-aggressive shot, which is it's kind of like, and forgive me for saying this, but you know, the Christian way of saying F you is, I'm going to pray for you.
Well, you can't say that, Mr. I don't think that's right, Mr. Emmett, to say that.
Well, I don't care what you think is right. It's my opinion.
You're saying F you as a Christian. They never say that.
Oh, yes, they do. Yes, they do. Don't think that because a guy calls himself a Christian, he's a Christian. I'm not putting down Christianity. What I'm saying is that because someone calls themselves something doesn't mean... And I'm telling you, the most hostile thing sometimes that I've ever heard at times is someone saying to another person, I'll pray for you. That's their way of saying, you're sad, or F you. Same thing.
I want to comment on this as soon as I wipe.
Okay, thanks, Mark. We didn't need to hear that.
Need a heebity heebity heeb.
Find a paper?
Yes, I found the paper. Okay. All right, you're talking about Christians, passive-aggressive. Now, what's wrong with saying to someone that you truly feel is a complete ass and is making a bigger and bigger ass of themselves as the seconds tick off? Why not say you're sad?
Because you can say it. You can say anything you want. But I don't think you should be fooled into believing that you're looking like you're taking the high road, or that people feel that you're not being hostile. I think, for me, when I hear somebody say, you know what, you're really sad, I'm hearing an aggressive person, but I'm hearing somebody doing it in a much more subtle way.
Well, what would you say is a totally acceptable way of responding?
I mean, I would look at them very honestly and say, you're making a scene. Don't make a scene, you know? Try to just calm, maybe not even say calm down, because I know calm down makes angry people even angry, and I don't blame them for that. But I would say, when you say you're sad, that to me is hostile. You say to them, you know what, that really hurts me. Be honest with them. You know, you calling me a name like that is not helping our relationship. Something like that.
Man, that sounds gay. You sound all gay-like.
Yeah, well, you gotta be more aggressive than that.
Oh, gotta be more aggressive, huh? All I'm telling you is, it ain't kidding. It's not fooling me. So if somebody says you're sad, that's just as hostile as saying F you to somebody, in my opinion. Now, if you were to say to them, for instance, why are you angry? You know, what is this? You know, get to the source of the anger. Ask them, you know, what's going on here, man? I mean, show real concern instead of phony, patronizing kinds of concern that it's just thinly cloaked hostility.
But it's fun to say you're sad and get people even more irate as you stand there laughing at them.
Oh, isn't that great? That's very adult. Very adult.
Yeah, but that's not the point. The other person's being an ass about it.
I'm just telling you right now, anybody that says to another person you're sad, I can see right through that. That is a completely hostile, it's a very angry thing to say, and the person saying that is angry. World famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back with more right after these very important messages and a word from your local thing.
That's very sad the way you said that. Very, very sad.
Yeah, you're sad. So sad. You're really out.
Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, Margaret.
Yes, so we have someone on the phone. Well, not on the phone. If I was talking to someone during that particular show we were talking about, Phil, where I said that the lingerie, this kind of sex wear was indeed relegating the female more and more to the boneyard. Now, you laugh at that, and I can see Bud, and the three of you are like little boys, having a mutual masturbation.
That's not fair. We're laughing because that's not fair to say.
What's not fair?
You're saying barnyard makes us laugh.
Well, the point that I'm making, though, is when I talk to gals and a woman will call up and say, Margaret, I like wearing the crotchless panties. I like putting on the boots. I like being bound in trust like an animal in the back of a flatbed truck. Then comes, you see, right here. Oh, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Oh, really? Do you? And they get distracted, and they'll say, what is that music? And I'll say, it's the Bonanza theme.
Wait, the Bonanza theme.
Are you going to make a federal case? Turn it off. Turn it off. You making a federal case out of that?
No, you said the Bonanza.
Yes. Stop drawing attention to it, Phil.
Fine.
So you are a woman that wants to be trussed and thrown into the back of a flatbed truck for the 40, 50-mile drive to the stockyard in Indianapolis. Good for you.
The 40 to 50 mile drive to Indianapolis. Oh, come on, Margaret.
There, are you happy? Is that what you want to do?
Hey, Bobby Dooley's with Bobby. How are you?
Phil, I'm fine. Could you turn that down, please? Thank you. I wanted to comment on this, Phil. I was on the program last night. Could you please turn that down?
No, I don't think I will. This is music. This is my segment, okay?
Okay. What a baby.
No, you're calling in to me. I'm on the talk program. You're the call-in.
I know I'm the call-in, Margaret. I was asking if... Thank you, Phil. That's all I wanted it to be turned down a little bit.
Oh, so are you taking the high road now and I sound like the hysterical witch? Is that it?
Well, I think that's a little bit of what's going on here.
No, I don't think so. I was making the point to Phil about this show.
I heard what you were saying. I agree to a point. Now you're playing Phil Tap Out. Would you please turn the filth off? Please turn the filth off. Thank you.
I apologize.
That, now I agree with you on that, Bobby. That, why were you playing that?
It segued into Tap Out. I'm sorry. It's a new Lil Wayne song. I apologize. Bonanza, do you want me to get back to Bonanza? Bobby?
Yes, Margaret seems to think that that's an appropriate song for when a woman is expressing her affection for certain kinds of, yes, sex wear, night wear, if you will, the kind of wear that a woman will don when she is in an animal frame of mind. It doesn't mean, though, that we want to be trussed or we want to be herded, or we want to be yoked, or we want to be milked. although I suppose in some situations, yes, that would be fun. But I think, Margaret, you overstate the case horribly, horribly. When you say that we want to be trussed up, tossed into the back of a truck, driven to Kansas City or Indianapolis, thrown into a car or onto a flatbed car, and then shipped. Is that what you're saying? We want to be shipped?
I'm saying that the American woman today is sending every message to the man that she wants to be stamped and shipped, yes.
Well, I think that's wrong. And I'll tell you something. When I was growing up,
turn that off, will you, bud?
Sorry.
I just heard tap out again, and I'm going to put my thumbs into a man's eyeballs if I hear that again.
I'm sorry. I told Bud, don't do that, man. All right, so I apologize, ladies. That should not have been, that should not have come up on the.
What is this?
This is my song. This is not Tap Out.
Is this banana?
It's not called Banana. It's called Bonanza.
Oh, I see. So while I talk, I'm going to hear this music behind me, which is saying, here's a woman that wants to be tied up, thrown in the bed of a flat bar truck. Then I'm going to be driven to Indianapolis.
Would you hang up on her, please?
So I'd appreciate...
Thank you very much. Yes, I'm glad you hung up on her because she was mocking me and she was mocking every woman who believes the Bonanza is a theme that is not just to a Western, but a theme to a lifestyle that has degraded,
You got a little bit of a catch in your throat, Ms. Gray.
Because I'm feeling very...
You're feeling vulnerable?
Yes. Yes, I'm feeling vulnerable. I have one woman call up, and she doesn't agree.
Well, I think we've got Karen Deauville calling in.
Oh, not that... God, she is such a cow.
You know what? She agrees with you, I think. Karen has talked to... She talks very, very admiringly, if that's a word, of you. Karen joining us now from her home in Baltimore. Karen, it's good to have you with us. Thanks for calling.
Oh, Phil, I wanted to say to Margaret. Margaret, I love you very much. I think you are wonderful. I just love what you're saying. Why don't you let me love you?
You know, Karen, it's not that I don't want you to love me. I don't need you hanging all over me.
Honey, I'm not going to hang all over. Let me tell you something, honey. I've been married 2 times. My first husband died in a rail yard accident. I think you know the story. Phil knows the story. He was piloting one of those big locomotives, with a brand new jet locomotive. And he'd been drinking. There's no question about it. We had a very, very difficult time. Our marriage was falling apart. He piloted this big locomotive right off the track, right into downtown Baltimore. I mean, took out cars. And do you know that he laughed and he skipped his way to the hospital? I loved him. I loved him deeply. And, Margaret, I loved him almost to death, I think, and I remember him.
What has that got to do with anything?
I'm saying I had a substance abuser for a husband. I've had substance abusers for boyfriends. I know your pain.
Have you ever been called a farm animal?
I've never been called a farm animal, no. Do I want to be a farm animal? No. Have I ever known a farm animal? Yes. And I'll tell you something, dear. There comes a time when your best route to happiness... See, there, I don't mind this music.
You know, I'm playing it for you.
Your best road to happiness, honey, is to be that animal.
All right, thanks, Karen.
I'm going to tell you, Phil.
Is this Jerry?
Yeah.
Turn the music down, will you?
I want this music to be on.
Turn the music down. It's driving me ape. Jerry, this is the brother of... How you doing, Jerry?
I'm doing very good, Mr. Henry. Thank you very much. And Karen had to step out to getting some cornbread out of the oven. She made cornbread tonight. But did I interrupt what she was saying?
No. Well, Margaret was here talking about the...
Hi, it's Margaret Gray, and this is the Bonanza theme.
All right. That's very good. I just wanted to tell you that we love every... God.
Well, you just drove him off the air.
As well he should have been. I'm Margaret Gray.
And that ends all conversation.
Yes, it does.
All right. Thank you, Margaret, for that insightful segment on that. Anyway, that's episode 180 of the Phil Henry podcast.
Oh, that's episode one. Phil, it's educational, and I, you know what, I appreciate you at least giving that that very, very informed piece time on your website. I really, 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 really do.
All right. Okay, what else have we got? So, Amanda, did we even finish this story? I mean, we had this whole thing about Amanda Bynes. So she tweeted out that she thinks that Miley Cyrus is sad. Oh, no, she tweeted out she thinks Miley Cyrus is ugly, and that's when Miley Cyrus said she's sad.
Yeah, that's when you got off on all a sad thing, and then they had to go to break.
Okay, all right. I think it's all so sad that I don't want to add any fuel to that fire. She's really, really sad, and I think it's sad, said Miley Cyrus. You know, I was rooting for a comeback until she started attacking me. But when you attack me, then I don't want you to come back. I want you to burn in rotten hell. I want the spear of the devil to spear you and skew you and rotisserie you to a nice, even, medium rare. And, you know, I just thought it was hilarious. No, she didn't say that.
Phil, I don't know whether you're telling the truth or not.
Just kidding. And, you know, I just thought it was hilarious that she mentioned my name the moment I was the worldwide trending topic on Twitter. It's just funny because the moment you're, you know, a trending topic and you're really hot and you're really, 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 really popular, that other people just want to cause you all kinds of mayhem and it's sad.
Why are you doing that, man? She's trying to be the right, the good person.
Yes, she's the good person here. Why are you mocking her?
Because I see the other side of this. I see that Amanda Bynes is somehow frustrated and angry. I don't know what she's angry about. I don't know what she's frustrated about. But there's something going on with her. She feels really insecure. She's feeling insecure and she's attacking. She feels she has to because she doesn't really see the situation's out of control. All right, so I get that. Now she's screwing up, there's no question, and somebody's got to tell her to shut up. Now, this lady, Cyrus, and these other people, I don't think they're responding in ways that necessarily make them look good. Because what she's doing is she's playing this teenage, this is a couple of women acting like teenage girls. One of them is in pain and is angry and is lashing out, and the other one is kind of, I think, taunting her.
How is she taunting her by saying it's sad?
See, even the way you say sad.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, there is a way you're saying sad, almost like a chick.
I am a chick.
No, you're saying sad like a teenager.
I said that it's very sad.
That's right there. Right there.
What?
You said sad.
Yeah, that's how it's pronounced.
No, it is not pronounced that way. It's pronounced sad. Just sad.
I said I think it's very sad.
Yeah, Miss Way, you are saying sad.
What, Robert, you, of all the people here, I put my faith in you because I know you and I think alike.
No, we don't.
And I know that you and I want the same things.
No, we don't.
And I know that you and I pronounce things the same way.
No, we don't.
And so when I say sad, what am I saying that's wrong?
You're saying it like you're a little white girl. All you sound all dumb.
You sound like a dumb little white chick.
Well, that is about as stinking a racist thing as I've ever heard in my life. And for the...
Get that out of here, bud.
Sorry. I thought I wanted to play sad.
In any event, going back here to this Miley Cyrus thing. So she says, Ms. Cyrus says that when she became a trending topic, that's when Amanda Bynes started attacking her. Bynes has been acting out on Twitter for... Oh, I love the term acting out. Isn't that nice, Mr. Patterson? I guess you've been visiting your child behaviors. I'm telling you, I am beginning to feel more and more sympathy for Amanda Bynes and less sympathy for some of the people who are pretending to be her friend or pretending to be very adult, and yet they're engaging in typical celebrity provocation and playing the theme of Bonanza and the fact that she was living in a barnyard.
You're an ass.
Sorry, but you're the one that said it.
You're an ass.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show with the conclusion of this fantastic, illustrious, just magnificence. Magnificent magnificence in just a moment. The world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Facebook is looking to become more of a public forum, the company said on Wednesday, by introducing hashtags to the site. So this is a Twitter thing. Following the lead of rival social network Twitter, Facebook is adding the ability to tag your posts with phrases, noting that it's part of a larger conversation. You know, I use hashtags when I'm on Twitter, but I make up my own hashtags.
What do you mean?
Well, like, I'll be on Twitter and I'll just say, boy, it sure is sunny today. Nothing to talk about. That's my hashtag.
Well, there's probably, that hashtag probably is used by other people.
Well, it's funny. If you really want to have fun, just enter in anything as a hashtag. Put the hashtag sign and then enter in a phrase like, yo mama, or enter in a phrase like, that sucks, or something common. And I'm telling you, you'll laugh your ass off because what comes up is every single tweet with that hashtag in it. And some of it kills me.
Like what?
Well, I don't know. One night I, this blows. That's what I put in. I hashtag this blows. And I entered that in the search engine and it came up with all kinds of stuff. People talking about, I mean, some people are trying to stay awake to study. Some people are falling asleep. Most of it is during that particular time that I had entered that into a search engine. It was it was finals time. It was toward the end of the school year, and finals not only in high school but in college. So most of the tweets had to do with staying up overnight to study, having to go to school and take a final when they're really tired, forgot their materials at home. Or if it's not school related, a movie that was on they didn't want to see. There's nothing on television. Always with this blows was the hashtag. So I don't. To me, it just cracks me up.
Did you ever see any celebrity tweets in there?
No. There was always just regular folks. This blows, and and the women are funnier than hell, man. The women to me on Twitter crack me up because women. You know, there's really no difference in between the sexes when it comes to our willingness to just let it all hang out and verbally. Women may be a bit more, they may exercise a bit more self-censoring, self-censorship, or they may watch it at a certain time of day more so than the men, but they let it hang out. I entered in a hashtag that was, it was F this instead of this blows, it was F this. And I got 90% were women, and they were all saying something having to do with just the daily course of, you know, I'm standing in line and I'm waiting for the thing, F this, or I got my husband's car and the guy told me it's going to be this much, F this, you know, we're having lunch and nobody seems to want to pick up the tab. So it just, for me, it was pretty funny because if 90% of the tags that people that are hashtagging F this are female.
Well, was it F this or was it the full word?
It's the full word. I just don't want to say it. Maybe they got more time to be on Twitter.
Yeah, they got more time because the men is out there working and everything.
Oh, is that right, Sherlock? The men is out there working. The women is out there working, too.
All right, bud, don't fracture your English.
I mean, the men was out there.
No, the men were out there. But the point is that the women are working just as much as the men, don't you think?
Then why are they tweeting and the men isn't?
Oh my God, you're an idiot. The men aren't. And the reason why the men could be tweeting, it just so happens that it's the women using that hashtag.
Yeah, it's the women that are saying, you know, F this. But anyway, Facebook, which is, you know, truth be told, and I think we've already stated this, but I think it should be stated again. Facebook is considered by people on Twitter to be a place where individuals of lesser intelligence dwell. In other words, in the world of Twitter, Facebook is like where the Moloch live, the underground one-eyed ghouls. They just think it's a baffling and a alienating place to go.
Well, you're on Facebook and you're on Twitter.
I'm on Facebook and I'm on Twitter, and I enjoy both. I really enjoy Twitter I like Twitter because it demands that you be short and sweet and just get to it. You have to work harder on what you write on Twitter. You can't just say, boy, this really sucks, because it doesn't work. For a lot of people who like the big posts that you can put on Facebook, and the ability to emote, it just doesn't work for them. Twitter does not work for them. Facebook does. But Facebook people you know, they don't like Twitter. I mean, so there's this kind of thing between the two. I know people who are in the entertainment business, like in the radio business or television business, that are only over on Facebook. And then I know people that are only over on Twitter. Now, the other day, something very exciting happened for me when I, well, I better not say.
No, I think it's fine to say it, Phil. I don't think there's going to be any repercussion.
Well, Lorraine Newman of the Saturday Night Live cast, the now brilliant comedian and one of the original Saturday Night Live people, actually said on one of my posts, I love you. And she didn't mean that she loves me, but she meant she loved my work. And I was blown away because she's like a comedy goddess. So I was all over the place talking about what a goddess she was. And she was probably thinking, oh, God, why did I ever say what I said? But be that as it may, there was Lorraine Newman. She's not on Twitter. At least I've never seen her over there, but she's over on Facebook. And she posts a lot of stuff on Facebook. So you never can tell, you know.
Where's Groucho Marx?
Groucho Marx is dead.
Well,
what do you mean, well?
I mean, isn't there
nobody called Groucho Marx?
There's probably some ass named Groucho Marx over on Twitter, but he ain't the guy. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. Join us at philhendryshow.com for a backstage pass and an opportunity to, to listen and enjoy and be a part of the greatest radio website in the history of God and man on this planet. And man, I ain't kidding you! Until tonight at 10 o'clock, 1 a.m. on the East Coast, this is Phil Hendry saying, have a good evening and let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.